This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, Horse World, and welcome to episode 2100. Good morning, Horse World, and welcome to episode 2019 here on the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Glenda Geek, and we are here in Tryon on our 10th day at the World Equestrian Games. And for the next 3 days here on Horses in the Morning, we're going to bring you the show that we did from the night before from the WEG. I think you're going to enjoy hearing, if you haven't yet heard the WEG show, if you're not listening to it, I think you're going to enjoy a little taste of the World Equestrian Games of the next couple of days. It is amazing and awe-inspiring what we've seen here over the last couple of weeks. Also, at the end of today's show, we have a special interview for you of somebody that you're very familiar with here on Horses in the Morning, and that's three-time Thoroughbred Makeover champion Lindsay Partridge will be on. And we did quite a long interview with her, about 15 minutes, that will be on the end of today's show. But one of the reasons that we wanted to bring you the WEG show for the last 3 days here of our time is it does include the paras, and it is very inspiring to see them around the grounds and to see just what fortitude they have and what amazing spirit they have. And we talk about that in today's show with a couple of para riders. Our friend here at the Horse Radio Network and auditor Charlotte Merrill Smith is on today, as well as our spotlight rider for the 2018 WEG show. Katie Jackson joined us to cover the paras. And then also, I got to hang out with the vaulters, and I think you're going to enjoy that as well, and their spirit. They're so much fun, and they're so enthusiastic. And who doesn't admire people who can do what they do on a horse is amazing. So I hope you enjoy the next couple of days when we bring you a little bit of the taste of the World Equestrian Games from here at Tryon on the Horses in the Morning Show. I wrote something this morning I wanted to read to you real quick, and everybody knows that we had an interesting first week with the hurricane bearing down on us, and we didn't know what was going to happen there, and certainly is still affecting half the state. So here were my thoughts after 10 days. I wrote this for the 2018 WEG Show Facebook page this morning. It's the little things you notice when you're here that, and when there's not a threat of a hurricane. We are going on to our 10th day here at WEG. This is the point where you start to appreciate the little things about this show. The fact that the porta potties are emptied and cleaned every night, by the way, is amazing. I don't think I've ever been to a show where that's happened. The absolute beauty of the mountains and location as you look down on the venue every morning as you walk in. I love that. It's been so beautiful the last couple of days, and it's really neat to see the venue and the mountains in the back. I don't take the shuttles down in the morning because I like that walk so much. Finally got to speak with some of the amazing volunteers at the show, and you know, many of them lived on the east coast of North Carolina and were in the path of the hurricane, yet they're still here and they're working double shifts, and they're trying to make everybody else's experience happy, even though they can't maybe get to their house in some cases. So thanks to the volunteers. They're super sweet, super nice, for trying to make everyone's life easier here. Every day you see the little things that Tryon has done overnight to try and make it a better experience for horses, riders, and fans alike, and that's so true. We see changes every night. They're trying to make it better every day. They're spending a ton of money. It has to be a ton of money. So bless them for doing that. The press office people are terrific. I got to tell you, the volunteers that work in there, the staff, they try and there's 700 press here from around the world, and they've had amazing food for us, 3 meals a day. They have shuttles that get us everywhere. If I remember back in 2010 covering the WEG in Lexington, which was amazing too, but we didn't have shuttles, and Lexington's a big park, and we were pretty exhausted at the end of 14 days there, blisters on our feet and all that stuff. Not so here. I've never felt so pampered as a press person. Jennifer's Creamy Soft Ice Cream. If you're coming in, get soft ice cream there. It's been a treat to sit in the sunshine and eat soft ice cream every afternoon, which I shouldn't be doing because I'm not supposed to have sugar, but it's really good. And finally, a big thing was the awe-inspiring sights of the para-athletes. I posted a picture that you're going to want to go see on the 2018 WEG Show Facebook page. The picture was taken of the newly crowned para-dressage grade 2 world champion. Her name is Stina. And I want you to go look at the picture and read the description. I'm not going to ruin it for you. Go to 2018 WEG Show. You'll see it. You'll know what we're talking about. That's what it's all about here right now at the WEG. Not about a hurricane. It's just about amazing, inspiring stories that will tug at your heart. So definitely go check that out. It's worth seeing. So let's get on with the show. Here's last night's episode of the 2018 WEG Show with Samantha Clark and I, and some special guests, including Lindsay Partridge at the end. Stay to the end. We all get in a rut when it comes to shopping for horse supplies online. If you have not tried horselovers.com yet, then you are missing out on one of the world's largest online tack shops and all the best brands like Noble Outfitters, Ariat, Turn 2, Tough One, Professional's Choice, Weaver, and many, many more. Visit horselovers.com every day to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and trail rider. So get on over to horselovers.com today and save.
This is episode 55 of the 2018 WEG Show on the Horse Radio Network for September the 18th. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Horseware, Bait Saddles, and Bed and Barn Farms.
We look at two fun disciplines today, para dressage and vaulting. We are joined by para riders Katie Jackson and Charlotte Merrill Smith to review day one of para. Plus, we hear from the vaulters from the Team Great Britain, Team USA, and Team Canada. And the People of WEG includes an interview with three-time Thoroughbred Makeover winner Lindsay Partridge. A lot coming up on today's show.
Welcome to the 2018 WEG Show, your home for all the news and views of the 2018 World Equestrian Games.
Hello, I'm Samantha Clark.
And this is Glenn the Geek, and we are your hosts and guides to the 2018 World Equestrian Games. Welcome to our daily coverage of the games. Well, the weather was absolutely spectacular today.
No complaints.
No, this was, if every day was like this in Florida, I'd be a happy boy. So,
if every day was like this anywhere.
And by the way, that voice you're hearing is a recovering Coach Jen.
Welcome
producer.
Back.
Yes. She's been sick the last couple of days.
But I have a cone of safety around me. Nobody's within arm's length. But
I haven't been within arm's length, and I'm married to her. So before we get into the competitions today, though, Jen, there has been a change to the driving venue for what we talked about yesterday. Was all a lie, apparently. So they're not going to put the footing down over where endurance was. They have changed that. And where is driving now going to happen as far as dressage and cones?
Dressage phase will happen in what is now training or warm-up arena 6, which is the arena that is on the from the media center. It is on the far side of the permanent cottages where all the disciplines are the discipline offices are housed, and it's the one closest to the vet area for endurance, which was where it was supposed to be. It is the only one of the non-competitive arenas that's large enough. So it's an enormous arena, but there's no seating.
They did the test event, although they'll have that up by the weekend. That's where they did the test event. That's where they had the test event driving. Now, is it grass or is it composite or what?
It's composite. It's the same footing as all the other arenas. Yeah.
But it's very large, apparently.
It's ginormous.
You need
ginormous.
To put four and hand horses in a dressage ring. So,
it's big. And then the cones is going to be in the main arena, the big one. And
it
that's going it's going to be
I thought it was going to be in that same arena from what I was told.
No, it's going to be in the big arena immediately after the jumping, so they're going to have to clear the jumps out and put the cones in.
Oh, so they're going to do the cones in the big arena.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And that all happened on Sunday.
Just
that'll be the last day.
Yes.
So we'll have the finals in jumping and then the finals in cones in.
Yeah, the cones moving the cones into the big arena might have something to do with the filming capabilities for NBC perhaps. Because that's where they have all the cameras set up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's so if you're coming in for driving, those are the changes that have happened.
I'm not a weatherman, so please do not take my advice as far as where you're going
to
sit.
I hope to get out to the marathon course and see if they have the marathon obstacles up yet tomorrow or Thursday, and then we'll post pictures on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And like Samantha did with all the jumps, we'll post it of the marathon obstacles. And hello to our friends in Europe who follow driving and who follow us because of the Driving Radio Show. Dr. Wendy will be arriving tomorrow, so she'll be helping with coverage.
Let the party begin!
Samantha's actually leaving us Friday morning, and then Dr. Wendy will be stepping in. You actually got to go home and, like, do stuff.
I've actually got to be a mother again. I have motherly commitments.
Outside of WEG?
Got a treat for you as far as covering the jumping is concerned. We're going to have Anne Glavin from the Chronicle and Erin Gilmore, who's one of the best photographers in the business and has a background in show jumping. So you will not be lacking as far as expert coverage for the show jumping.
Great.
And that was not something that I was anyway. So don't worry at all. Between Wendy and Anne and Erin, we've got it covered.
Very good. And
you won't miss me.
So what did you do today? I'll miss you, but for different reasons.
I went and watched, I'm not sure if they call it the show jumping warm-up or arena familiarization or a little bit of both. What happened was each country gets to go in the main arena, the US Bank Best Arena, whatever it's called, country by country, and they get 90 seconds per rider, and they can do whatever they want, basically. So it was really interesting watching. Some riders elected, there was about 10 jumps. They did have numbers, but you didn't have to jump a course. You could jump all of the jumps, none of the jumps, a few of the jumps. Some riders elected to jump all of them. Some elected to jump a few of them. Some did none and just trotted around, cantered around. I put a few pictures on Facebook, and I did a couple of videos, but there's a eagle decoration, and some of the horses were spooking at that, so some riders took their horses up and showed them that.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just fun to watch. I love watching warm up and stuff like that, so I watched that for a little while. I went and watched the para grade 4 class with Katie Jackson and Charlotte, they're watching the grade 5, but they're going to come and tell us all about that, and they're much, again, they, you know, they'll be able to give us proper expert commentary. But it was it's always moving and inspiring to watch. And I kind of have a difficult time watching. It makes me feel like a shallow.
I feel like a slacker.
Yeah.
I was watching a lot of the grade 4 rides, and they put out some lovely, lovely tests.
They really do. And, I spoke briefly to the winner of that was, Sanne Voets from Netherlands, and Rodolfo Riscala from Brazil came second. I spoke to him briefly, and I'm going to try and talk to him in more depth, before the freestyle or after the freestyle. And we'll try and get him on the show because he has an amazing story. I mean, they all have amazing stories. And, we're also going to talk to Kate Shoemaker and her mum. She came in seventh. All these people qualified for the freestyle. So that's good. So we'll get to speak to them again, but we'll go into that in more depth. And then, I wandered around a bit. Funny enough, I went and had a pulse equine laser massage.
And how was that? Do you feel pulsed?
And, it was pretty nice, actually, because my shoulders and my neck, I think from being quite tense and nervous during the eventing, and then hunched over my computer quite a lot and tweeting and Instagram and all that. So I feel better. That might have also been the Bloody Mary, though. but I feel much better. And then the guy was telling us, because I was, you know, I went with a friend and being quite competitive, I was like, ooh, well, you know, how high can you go? And he's like, well, you can go up to 100, but you would never have it that high. I was about 50. And I said, oh, did the horses have it higher? Then he said, no, the horses are very sensitive. They have it a lot lower. I said, well, then why on earth would you have it up to 100? He said, if you have nerve damage or neuropathy, then you would go up higher. And he said some of the para riders had come in. He said, I had one girl come in today, and she had it up to 95 on her leg, but she couldn't feel it. Funnily enough, it was Charlotte.
So oh, my gosh. Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said, if you have it up to 85 and they can't feel anything, then I would recommend you go to a doctor because there's obviously something wrong with you. And they already know that. But
oh, wow. How fascinating.
So for spinal injuries.
It was
interesting. So if you're here and you're interested, and they sell the machines. Because so my friend and I, we were lying on they have those chairs that you lie back on. And he's like, here. And
it's like a lounge chair.
It
feels
really good. And we were like, oh, we want one of these. And we're like, oh. And then we looked. It's like $30,000.
Scooter's going to want himself a massaging lounge chair.
I think you buy them with the intention of going around doing people or on other horses. You don't buy them, just have in your living room while you watch TV, basically, which is what I wanted. So that was my day.
Well, that sounds like
she got a massage and chatted with Ryder.
Worked hard today.
And had a Bloody Mary.
You know, the life.
Actually,
Glenn.
This has kind of been a fun day.
It really has. Today feels like
it's
a day.
Relaxing for us both. It's kind of relaxing. We had para and we had vaulting, but there wasn't jumping mixed in. It was two disciplines as opposed
it's
to
like
six, like we've been doing.
Each, yeah, it was nice.
So it was kind of nice. I headed over vaulting first thing this morning. I saw the team competition. We're going to talk about that too. And I got a lot of cool interviews I'm going to tell you about too. One of them's coming up later in the show. She's been a regular guest in the Horse Radio Network. I've never met her though. And her name is Lindsay Partridge. She has been a three-time winner of the Thoroughbred Makeover in Lexington, Kentucky. And she is judging this year. We had a great conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy it at the end of the show. So hang around for that. It's a little longer than our normal People of WEG because she's fascinating and she's just lovely. And there was a viral pictures that went around earlier in the week, and you might have seen them, of horses in Canada that got attacked by a bear. And they were all scraped up, and that was her horses. So we got caught up, and the horses are all fine. So they're still trying to determine where the bear is. But that's, you might know her from that too. So that's all coming up in today's show. But first, we're going to go to Kentucky Performance Products.
You muck out his stall every day. You toss him hay and feed him his grain with just the right supplements mixed in. You adjust his blankets to keep him comfortable. And you always make sure he has enough fresh water. Before you ride, you brush off all the dirt and notice every bump or scratch. As you train, you feel every stride and notice each swivel of his ears as he listens to your aids. After you ride, you pause for a hug, because your relationship is what it's really all about. The feeling you get when you hug your horse is priceless. It's why we do what we do at Kentucky Performance Products. This feeling is brought to you by Nalox Advanced. Fight back against colic and digestive upset. Nalox Advanced provides a scientifically advanced blend of ingredients that work synergistically to maintain your horse's digestive tract in peak condition. The horse that matters to you matters to us.
So we have some help doing our para coverage this week for para dressage, and we thought we would just go to the people who have actually done it. And our spotlight rider that we have had all years here, Katie Jackson, in person.
Hi, everyone. It's so fun to be here. This is great.
It's good to have you here, and thank you so much for agreeing to do this. And a good friend of the Horse Radio Network, para rider Charlotte Merrill Smith, is here as well.
Hello.
Hi, Charlotte. Thank you so much for coming over. So we got two excellent para dressage riders here to help us out with coverage.
It feels like CNN with our expert panel of analysts.
I know. It is cool.
I think we got them fooled, huh?
Right? I think it's fun to hang out and both of us here together. What a fun opportunity.
So let's talk about para, how it works at a WEG competition. There's five grades, and let's just quickly run down, give the Reader's Digest version of how that works.
So there's five grades of competition. Each grade is defined by the rider's level of disability. So a grade one rider is going to have the most disability, and a grade five is going to be your least disabled riders. Their test is essentially based on the movements that they feel it would be equivalent to the Grand Prix for their level of disability. So here at the WEG, this is the first time that the individual test, which is essentially the Grand Prix special for the individual medals, is ridden first. So that was today and tomorrow's competition, followed by the team competitions, which is the Grand Prix equivalent in the able body, and then everybody's favorite, the freestyle on Saturday.
So it used to work the way that dressage works, where it was team and individual together and all of that stuff.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, there's just been some little tweaks on the rules and how things go over these last few years. And so kind of a new format for this year.
And you have to qualify for the freestyle.
You do, correct.
Yeah, so a certain number of the individual riders will be
going to freestyle.
So it'll be the top eight of each of the from the individual test, but a minimum score of 60% is required.
So let's go over, before we go into who's on the United States team this year, let's what grade are both of you? Charlotte?
I'm a grade three.
So you're a grade three. You're right in the middle. And yeah. Why are you a grade three?
Well, it's all, you're graded off the horse, actually, and it's about your balance and to your ability off the horse.
Right. And you're in a wheelchair because?
Because I am a paraplegic as a result of being a passenger on a four-wheeler.
Yep, darn four-wheelers. And then, Katie, what grade are you?
I'm a grade five. And my disability is I'm a above knee amputee due to cancer.
Do you ride with your prosthetic?
I actually do not. So I do everything else with my prosthetic, including getting on the horse. And then once I'm on, I've fitted a really cool zipper so that I can take off the leg, hand it to my groom or somebody holding the horse. Or I've even devised a way of carefully lowering it to the ground. And then off I go.
You have a pulley system on your leg so you can lower it to the ground?
It's actually just a stirrup leather that I put around
it. Oh, there you go. That works.
Once the horses aren't too freaked out by leg day, dangling off the side of them,
please
off we go.
Tell me there's some duct tape on it too. Just
I hold on really tight, so no, it's a very valuable leg for a lot of reasons. So it needs to have a nice soft landing. But definitely fun to ask random strangers, "Hey, could you come grab my leg for me?" So
that's not something you see every day.
Not something you get to ask. So you know, you get to be really friendly with people right away.
I guess. Yeah. I guess you do. And so there are aids allowed in para riding as well. So, Charlotte, you don't have use of your legs. What aids do you use?
So you have different dispensation aids for every grade. And for me at grade three, I have a strap of Velcro that goes over my thigh that crosses an inch by an inch. My stirrups are rubber banded or strapped to the girth, and my feet are rubber banded into the stirrups. And I have a solid bar on the front of my saddle.
So you know,
and I can use my voice.
You know, everybody thinking at home is going, is that safe that you're strapped into your saddle?
Yes, and that's why it's all heavily regulated by the FEI. Like you have it, your stuff checked in and out of the ring, and I may have tested it a couple times. Oh. It definitely
it breaks away.
It'll break off if necessary.
So that's not a problem. It breaks.
No, it breaks.
Yeah. All right. Very good. So let's talk about who's on the United States team, Katie.
All right. Well, we have an amazing team for our WEG competition. Our grade one rider is Roxanne Trunnell. And Roxanne is riding a new horse. His name is Dalton. He's only 6 years old, which is pretty incredible that he's a young horse.
That's really young for a WEG.
It is. It's actually the minimum age that a para horse can be to compete at the world level. So he's quite a superstar. And a fun fact that Dalton is actually owned by Kate Shoemaker, who is one of our grade four riders. So Kate Shoemaker is riding her horse Solitaire and a super pair as well. It's been really fun to watch their development over the last couple years, and she's doing an amazing job, really, really putting on a fantastic performance. Our other grade four rider is Annie Peavy, and her horse is Coco, or Royal Dark Chocolate. Annie's been just really a foundation rider for our team. She does an amazing job of just going out and putting in a solid performance. The mare is beautiful, really beautiful. And Rebecca Hart also is on the team. She has a new horse as well, El Corona Texal. So they're going to be a fun pair to watch in the grade threes tomorrow.
And this is her third WEG?
I believe it is, yes.
She's been doing them a long time.
Yes, she's our most experienced rider. We've got a strong team in that way. Kate, this is her first World Equestrian Games. But other than that, each of these athletes, this is either the second or third time they've been at this level of competition.
I think Rebecca
or more.
Might actually be the first para rider we ever talked to on the Horse Radio Network 10 years ago.
That's awesome.
So she might be the first.
Neat lady.
So
very
let's go
lady.
Over the first test that was on today, and that was grade four, right?
I mean, you've all been here before because you rode here at the test event, both of you, right?
Yes. It was fun. It was fun to walk in and see, you know, an arena that you're familiar with, but just a totally different vibe. I mean, I was kind of getting goosebumps just walking in and seeing the riders. Annie did a lovely job with Coco. She went in and performed a solid test. She had one little bobble that, I think, you know, kept her score just a little bit lower than I know she would have hoped, but she put in a really beautiful performance, and the mare looked great.
And she ended up in sixth place.
She is in sixth place, yeah.
So she'll qualify for the freestyle.
She will, yes. So you will see her in both the team and the freestyle. And then Kate as well had a really strong ride, top performance as far as just going in and putting in a very accurate test. So.
And I actually managed to catch up with Kate after our test. So should we quickly listen to that?
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Oh, great.
That's why I left my horse in the warm-up arena today. Right. And he was just a little bit too hot and too tired by the time we got in the arena. So it wasn't our ride today, but there's two more to go. And at least we hope so. Yeah, we'll go from here.
You're definitely in for the freestyle practice, so that's something that
super, well, definitely.
What will you do between now and then to get a better ride in the team and the freestyle?
Well, I think, you know, now that it's starting to get hot again, I think we're actually going to go a little bit more towards resting him. He's really well prepared for the show, and if it comes down to we need energy in the arena, we want to make sure we don't overschool him today. So that's what we're going to be mainly focusing on.
And then also, standing watching very proudly, as mums do, was Kate's mum, so I managed to grab her.
So I presume you're the horse owner, but I presume your mum as well, is that right?
I am, yes.
You must be so proud.
Yes, I'm very proud of her. She's worked incredibly hard. She's spent the last 4 years in veterinary school and has worked so hard to be able to make all the qualifying rides for this. And so we're very, very happy and very proud of her, yes.
And I've been here all week, talking to the other disciplines. And I talked to Glenn last night about it's so hard to see the riders come out disappointed when really the bigger picture is they're here and they've done so well. And like Kate just talked about, you know, she left her best horse in the warm up today, but she's qualified for the freestyle. She's, you know, like you said, she's. I mean, we should remember all the good things too.
Yes.
So that's, I guess, what you'll be. You'll be her cheerleader tonight, will you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And she will have analyzed her ride and have it analyzed over and over, and it will be better tomorrow. Yes. She, I think with every one of these, you learn. So this is her first world game and a debut, and so, you know, she'll be learning by tomorrow.
So they were the two American riders that were in this class.
And they'll both qualify, right? Sixth and seventh will both go through?
Yes, yes.
Isn't that interesting, though, that every rider coming here has to have their freestyle prepared, yet you may never get to use it?
Yeah.
All of that work.
Well, at this level, they would have already ridden the freestyle.
Right, but I mean, use it here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's got to be a bummer when you don't get to go out and do it.
The freestyles are fun.
So who did we have in the medal positions here? And I hope one of you are going to say these names because...
I was hoping you were going to do it, Glenn.
Samantha!
I'll happily butcher it. Sanne Vogt was it the winner for the Netherlands?
Yes.
And then I did speak to Rodolfo, and I think I mentioned that already, that I'm dying to talk to him after the freestyle or at some point this week, because his story is amazing. Are you familiar with him?
No.
He's a Brazilian rider. Oh, you'd gone off to watch Kate warm up for her test, because he went right before her, and he did a beautiful test. He ended up in the silver medal position, and then I ran down to the mix zone and just heard the end of his story and spoke to him very briefly. And as we were talking to him, they announced who was, you know, who'd won, and they told him that, oh, you're Sylvia, and he burst into tears.
Aww.
And I felt like bursting into tears too. I mean, he's the sweetest, loveliest man with the most amazing story. So I will try and get to talk to him in more detail.
I did get to see his horse, just some glimpses as I was coming down to cheer on Kate. And what a fantastic horse.
He's
just beautiful.
An amazing man. He works for Christian Dior in France, and he's sponsored by them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just a
really
little tidbit.
Cool.
That's a teaser, but there's a whole other, I mean, you could make a movie about his life so far.
How fun.
And he was in the silver position?
Yes, that's Rodolfo. And then third, Suzanne Jensby-Sunesen for Denmark. So congratulations to all those three.
Very good.
Yeah.
So then we had grade two, and we didn't have any United States riders in there. So why don't we just cover who won?
Oh my goodness, Glenn, you're killing me.
Okay, these names are something else.
Denmark won again with Stina Tanger Kastrup, do you think? Yeah. Look at her horse's name though, Horsebow Smarties, I love it. Pepo Puch was second for Austria with Sailor's Blue, and in the bronze medal position again for the Netherlands, Nicole Den Dulk with Wallace NOP.
You know, even if she says the names wrong, she owns it, and with her accent, it just sounds right.
Yes, I think it's perfect.
I've been butchering names forever on NPR in Kentucky. In Kentucky, we've got Brussels, we've got Athens, we've got Madrid, so I'm used to it.
That's awesome. I have to say it was a pleasure to get to watch Stina. She's somebody that I've gotten to know just through Facebook and watching her success with Smarty, and she does a beautiful job. I mean, just an amazing job, and keeps that horse so forward, and it's such a harmonious pair. So it was.
And which pair really was that?
The gold medal with Stina.
Austrian?
Yeah.
I saw her warming up too. So she was amazing.
From Denmark. Yeah. Really, really a pleasure to watch.
And then we ended the day with the fives,
with
right?
With my grade.
With your grade. And we did we have any Americans in that?
We did not.
Yeah, but some,
we did
had
have
somebody.
A Brit.
Yeah, we had somebody else in that. And did you see who won?
I did see who won.
So do you want to cover that?
Yes. Sophie Wells, who is quite an experienced British para rider, at the top of the leaderboard with Fatal Attraction. Netherlands in silver medal with Frank Hosmer on Alphaville NOP, and Germany in third with Regina Misspellkamp on Look At Me Now.
Any thoughts on this?
It was wonderful to get to watch other grade five riders. I mean, I've gotten to compete, but really not ever be in the presence of some of the other European countries. And so a great experience to watch their execution of the tests and really see some of our top riders, you know, especially Sophie Wells. I mean, she's just an amazing rider and very, very, you know, just a master of presenting her horse in a test. So I learned a lot from getting to watch.
Now you know what you'll be up against in 2 years in Tokyo, what it takes.
Yes, I'll be ready.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to, I mean, I think that's what's hard for Americans when you don't get the chance to travel, you know, abroad and measure yourself against them. But it's nice to have them all come here so you can see. I had a question. I was watching quite a lot of the warm-ups and I was watching some of the other rings. What are the rules for... who can ride the horses when outside of competition, when you're here but you're not competing?
So outside of competition or here at the competition?
Here at the competition, but like for warm-up or like during the day, or like if you've got a day off and your horse is competing tomorrow.
So it's different based on the grades. So for the grade 4 and 5, once the horse arrives on the premise, the rider is the only one that's allowed to be on the horse.
Is that true of all disciplines too?
Only the horse, unless you're walking on a loose rein to lead
the groom. Yeah, the groom could cool on a loose rein. And then Charlotte knows more.
But then for 3 and below, the so someone is allowed to ride the horse for a certain amount of time before you go in the ring. And it is a little different for each grade, but then they also have to be off within a certain amount of time before your test. So it's you, like my coach will get on my horse and he has 20 minutes, and then, like their timing, the people like write down your name and number and make you get on and off, and
the stewards will.
Stewards, that's the word.
And do you have to declare who, like, there's people who are like, you have to declare who's going to ride your horse before you get
no.
here? No. No, anyone can ride it. So you could,
You could have your grandma on if you wanted to. I mean, but that might not get you the best
but
score.
But your groom, like, if your trainer, say, got stuck in traffic or something, you could say your groom would get on, or you could borrow someone's trainer and say, listen, can you just ride my horse for 45 minutes before?
Yes.
Okay. So they're basically warming the horse up for you at that point.
But I mean, because I can't post, it's better for the horse's back and better for their body to warm it up before I get on and bunk around a little bit.
Got it. And I have had this question before, and I don't know that we've ever answered it. How do you get on? You're in a wheelchair. You don't have use of your legs. How do you get on the horse? I know that sounds silly, but...
That's a good question.
I use a ramp. So I wheel up the ramp, and there's a platform on the top, and then someone brings my horse up next to it, and I just climb on. at a show where there's not a ramp necessarily, like a regular at-home show, I get out from the back of a truck. I get into the back of a pickup truck, get back into my wheelchair, and then go to the edge of the tailgate, and that's the height of the ramp. And so someone pulls my horse up next to the back end of the truck. And but then there are some people that get thrown up on top. It's just sort of however it works for you.
The horses I've seen today have been so good. Are they, is that something, are they born or made? Is that something you know immediately they're going to be a good horse and they're going to adapt to you? Or is that, I mean, can you train them to be that good, or are they just, they come that good and it's something in their nature that, do you think, in your experience?
I think it's in their nature. But you can sort of tell when I'm horse shopping right now. So I've been trying a couple horses, and you can tell when you try to sort of ask them different things with my aids, they either get mad or try to answer the question or just shut down. Or, you know, so you can sort of figure out the type of horse it's going to be by just simple things that while you're trying it, like doing walk trot transitions. If you try to get it to go with no legs, what does it do?
Yeah.
It sort of gives you a good indication of what the horse is going to be like to train and to ride.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. Good luck looking for a horse.
Thank you.
That's never as easy as it sounds, is it?
No, come on now.
I mean, it's like looking for a husband, and I've been single for a long time.
Wait, I'm looking for one of those too.
I
concentrate on finding a horse.
Maybe the husband will have the horse.
But I can buy the horse.
Get to train the husband.
That's not the one I want.
And that's a perfect way to end the Paris segment for today. Thank you both for joining us today, and we'll see you all tomorrow. What do we have coming up tomorrow now? Tomorrow we have more of the individuals. So we have the other two grades.
So grade three? The ones and the threes.
Ones and the
tomorrow.
Threes.
Tomorrow. So Roxanne Trunnell and Dalton and Becca Hart and Tex will be up tomorrow.
All right. Very good.
They're cheering them on.
Yeah.
We'll give you a report on that on tomorrow night's show. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you for being our roving reporters.
Welcome. We're on it.
In the world of horse racing and elite equestrian sports, it's all about how to prepare and repair. IceVibe is a truly portable and highly efficient circulation therapy system for your horse. Before activity, prepare to prevent damage by using the IceVibe's vibration pads. Repair after the event by using the unique combination of cold packs and vibration to minimize swelling and encourage blood flow. And because it's battery powered, IceVibe is truly portable. The essential and affordable tool to prepare and repair. IceVibe.
Well, vaulting was fun today. They had the arena was beautiful. They had it set up. It looked beautiful. I mean, it was well done. All the vaulters said that they've been treated like royalty here. They're very happy with what they've experienced. And down to all of them I talked to.
They all entered and exited through the correct
place. Yes, everything was
place.
Very organized.
Yes, it was all very organized.
Vaulting people are very organized. And
that's hard to believe, because once you start explaining what happens, it's kind of a confusing
sport.
Well,
this is what happens. So today was compulsories. Compulsories.
Compulsory,
yeah, thank you. Compulsories. It's like gymnastics. They have compulsory routines that they have to do, and then they'll go into freestyle. So what it is the teams and individuals compete in four different tests for a combined score. Compulsory, during which they are judged in the quality of eight prescribed movements, as well as the horse always gets a score, too. So, like today, there was a horse that broke into a trot. And they get penalized because 25% of the score is the horse. And the vaulter must feel like there's nothing they can do about that.
Nope, it's
right?
The person in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the lunger that actually does that. Then they have freestyle, which is coming up next. And then also they'll do the best 15 vaulters continue to a final round of a technical test. And then they determine winners. So there's multiple categories of this. There's teams. Or squads, they're called in vaulting, representing a country. And then they have
potty-doos.
Thank you.
Potty-doos.
Two people doing vaulting. And then they have individuals. So they have multiple different types.
Now,
of
that explains why there were so many vaulters running around.
A lot of vaulters out there. There is a lot of vaulters out there. So now what we had today was the compulsory tests for both teams in the morning and then individuals. And I have some results. We're recording earlier today, so we won't have all the results, but I have some results. So in teams right now, it sits that Switzerland just kicked butt today. So they went in, they have a couple of points, or they have like a half a point score lead, which is pretty high in vaulting. Germany was in second. And when I saw the Germans go, I don't know what I'm looking at. Okay, I'm not a vaulter. And but I don't, you can tell technically that the handstand lasted longer or, you know, things like that. So, but when you saw the Germans go in, you visibly, if you didn't know anything, saw a difference, you know? And then when you saw the Swiss go in, it was like, holy crap. You really saw a difference, even if you didn't. Vaulting's one of the sports you can watch, even if you don't know anything about it, because you can kind of tell, like in gymnastics,
they either wobble or they don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we had the Swiss, and this is early in competition now, only after round one. So, and Germany second, Austria in third, and then the USA put in a great test. They were so happy with it. And I have a little bit of the sound of the United States when they came out, and you're going to hear how happy they were. You must feel really good at this point coming out in second.
We feel great.
Yeah. We're super happy, yeah.
That was amazing. Oh, yeah. She was amazing.
We were all amazing.
So yeah, good. Running out, we were like, all the cheering was really great. Yeah.
It's great to be on home turf.
And how about the horse?
She was perfect.
Beautiful.
She was great.
Carolyn does a fantastic job.
Excellent.
Yeah. You feel good also?
Yes.
She went really good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Tell us a little about the horse. It's a beautiful horse. Tell us about the horse.
She's a 15-year-old Oldenburg mare. She's probably one of the tallest here, apart from the big Percheron.
She's
really loves it and here. And she's been super good. Her stalls are big, so she's happy. And
do you guys have to adjust what you do on a horse this size? I mean, your mounts and your dismounts?
We've been training on her all year. So yeah. We're...
It's easy, so this kind of stuff. This is her third world equestrian games.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes, as a team, only one year.
Have you guys worked in vision with her?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Some of us. Yeah.
So it's a team horse, but this is the first time she's done a squad?
She was owned by Germany.
Okay.
And we bought her last year and brought her to the States.
So we've been vaulting here since 2014, so...
What's next?
Some of us have individuals. Yes.
There are two of the individual males for US, so they have their compulsories later today.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.
You're not going to tell us anything about the freestyle, are you? You're holding out. I know.
I trust. The music we used today gives you a little clue into what we're doing for freestyle.
The end or the beginning?
All of it.
All right. I tried. Thanks, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And then after the United States, we had Italy. Italy, if you remember when we had Mary McCormick on, who we're going to hear from later on the show, she told us that Italy was going to be a powerhouse. And they showed up. They're sitting right now in fifth place in team competition. Then the Netherlands, which if there's a course competition, Netherlands are going to be in contention. Then the Czechs did very well. They're in seventh place. So they came in and did very well. And they were very, very enthusiastic, the Czechs. Canada was sitting in eighth place, and they were one of the first to go. You got to hear about their horse, and I had a chance to catch up with the Canadians after, and Canadians are very proud. And they're going to tell you a little bit about their horse. Listen to this.
All together, I think that's one of our best compulsory runs we've done all season out of all of our selection trials. Felt really like we got it all together at the right time.
So how's your experience been of WEG so far?
It's been super awesome to be here with all of our teammates who we spent the whole season with, and it's really great to have our little family all here together doing what we love to do.
So you guys must know each other really well now.
Yes.
So what's the... You must be the youngest. How old are you?
I'm 11.
11. So when did you get into vaulting?
When I was about 7 years old, 6 or 7. I started in a club in Alberta, and I've been with that club for a while, and now I'm here.
So can someone tell me a little bit about the horse?
Charlie, he's an 11-year-old Percheron Friesian cross owned by our lunder, Sasha D'Ambrosio, and he's actually not the horse that we have at home and not the horse that we competed on all season, but we decided that this trip would be too much for our team horse Kingston, and Sasha offered us Charlie, which was such a blessing.
Charlie's huge.
He's huge.
He's
Yeah. She calls him 18-3, but he's a solid 19 hands. He is so much bigger than our horse at home, so it's been a bit of an adjustment. But he's amazing.
Just mounting must be fun.
let me say, we had to completely change our techniques in the weeks leading up to WEG to learn how to mount on him, basically.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would you say your aim of WEG is?
We want to go in there and do the absolute best that we can. We feel like we're a step up from what we competed and what we presented to the world in 2016. And we'd like to show the world what Canada can be.
Amazing. Cool.
And also to have fun.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
So their horse is a Percheron that's 19 hands tall. It was the biggest frickin' horse I have seen anywhere.
How does the flyer get up there?
The 11-year-old girl flyer has to go out. What they do in the compulsory test for the teams today is they all go on the horse individually, and they all have to do the same mandatory movements.
Yes.
And the flyer is literally up to my waist.
She can walk under him.
Yes. She's up to my waist. She's 11 years old, and she goes out there and hops on, bing, a 19-hand Percheron.
Dang.
Now, as I said in the interview, they had to relearn because this was not their regular horse. When they got down here, they had to change their technique to get on the horse. It was enormous. We owned an 18-hand Percheron. Imagine 4 hands bigger than that, and he was a tank.
Wow.
But he was as steady as a rock, round and round, as steady as he could be. But his feet were the size of pie plates. It's just huge. So
registration they're getting on the seismograph right now is not.
Yeah, it's that Percheron.
That's the Canadian
there are some
team.
Big horses down there. And then I had a chance to catch up with, sitting in ninth place was Team Great Britain, and we talked to them also.
Yeah, we talked to them before they left.
And they're super nice, and we're going to get a chance to do an interview with them here one of these days. But they were so fun, and I had a chance to catch up with them too. So take a listen.
Cool. So how's your experience been so far, Greg?
Really good.
Yeah.
The arena is wonderful. Yeah. Inside the arena is really lovely. Lovely arena.
And how do you think that performance went?
Yeah,
it was
good.
Yeah,
really
thank you.
That
really
went.
Yeah.
We
shook the bits with them, to be honest. I think you did a really good job. Well done, team. Good team.
And Harry was nice and settled, wasn't he?
Yeah, Harry was
lovely.
Arena.
The arena is great.
Oh, good.
So, really nice.
So, what's your aim then of WEG?
Oh, gold, I think.
Aim high.
Aim high.
Absolutely.
We want to have a load of fun, and I think we've done that already so far, and I'm very proud of them.
As long as we perform the routine the best we can, then we'll be happy. That's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
Can somebody tell us, can one of you tell us about the horse? Who's taking that?
So Harry's lovely. He's about 18-2, and he's a Hanoverian cross out of Demonstrator. But he's really, really lovely. He's lovely to train on, and he's just settled so well here. I think he's having fun
he
as well.
So persistent.
First time he's flown.
Oh, really?
Really.
How'd that go?
It was fine. I was a little stressed, but he was fine. And our team vet flew with him, which was really reassuring. So, but he's been great. I think he was better than we were. Me and Ricky don't fly, so he definitely did better than us.
And how often do you guys train together as a team?
Well, leading up to WEG, we were training every weekend and then twice in the week. Over the winter, it's a bit less because we all live quite far around the Midlands area.
Right, okay.
But yeah, leading up to WEG as much as possible, so four days a week.
Yeah,
they have to drive 2 hours to get to me.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're pretty committed.
Committed.
Yeah.
And what's the age range, if you don't mind me asking? Teeny tiny.
This is the oldest.
Yeah.
And this is the youngest.
I'll be 31.
And you guys are
12.
Fabulous. Well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. The rest of the competition. We'll see you guys later. Okay.
You will.
Yeah. So that's how the teams are sitting. In 10th place is Team Brazil then. So that's the top 10 for the teams. And again, it's early in competition. Anything could happen at this point. Then the other thing we had today was the females, the women went in and did their compulsory test. And this is how we're sitting. And I have a couple interviews for you here, too, that were a lot of fun. So in first place, we have Austria with Katharina Lucian. This is going to be fun doing some of these names. And then in second place, we have Christina Bow of Germany. We have Daniela Fritz of Austria. See if you see a trend here. And then in fourth place, we have Lisa Wild of Austria. In fifth place, we have Sheena Bendixen of Denmark. In sixth place, we have Sarah Kay of Germany. In seventh place, we have Anna Cavallaro from Italy. And then I'm just going to skip down right now and go down to the top rated United States rider is Tessa DeVita. And she is sitting in 14th place. And I had a chance to catch up with her after her test too. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Tessa. This is her second WEG. She is 20 years old and it's her second WEG. Tells you something. She's been vaulting for 15 years since she was 5 years old. It's her first time. She competed on the squad last time, so it's her first time doing individual. And she also was on an 18-hand monster of a horse. So let's listen to Tessa sitting in 14th place for the women.
Compulsories are cool because we do the same exercises from when we start to now. So I've been training these compulsories since I was 5. And so I think I'm the best at them now as I've ever been. So that's always fun.
Awesome. And talk about the difference between competing on squad versus now you're competing individual at WEG.
Well, so for compulsories, it's exactly the same. We do the same moves. And then just the freestyle is obviously super different. I'm only doing my own thing. I'm not holding anyone else up. It's a little bit more dynamic, the moves that I do, just because I'm always the one who's on display, I guess. Versus in squad, sometimes you're like holding someone up or more of the periphery person. But they're just different. They're both great, though.
Next on the American side was Elizabeth Osborne. She's sitting in 19th place. And Elizabeth is an interesting one, too. She's 28 years old. She's been vaulting since 2000. She was at the 2006 WEG and as a female individual in 2006. And she's back in 2018 again. She's on a 12-year-old Oldenburg who's 18 hands as well. So she is sitting in 19th place. And then Mary McCormick, who's been a guest in our shows over the years. We've had her on back in 2010 as well. I had a chance to catch up with her after. She's super fun, and she's so engaging. And she had a great test. And then on the dismount, she bobbled and fell to her knee.
Oh, no.
Oh, she was so upset. So on the dismount, she fell to her knee, which a lot of points off. And sure, she had a great test going into that. But yet she was a trooper. And I got to tell you, when we were all, by the way, the reporters down there know less about vaulting than me. So they were all looking to me for guidance, which is really sad.
Oh, God.
So, but I have watched vaulting before and I have the
you
handy
read
guide.
The flyer.
I had the handy guide.
Yeah.
And we talked about it before, so that helped. So they all looked at me because Mary took a bobble at the end and it was like, you know that situation. It's tough when riders come out and they've had something happened in the test and they knocked rails. What do you say? Right? So they all looked at me and said, you lead.
Throw Glenn under the bus.
Over and I really like Mary. And I thought, I'm just going to do it. I led with, well, you heard it. So you were looking great out there.
Oh, thank you.
The bobble at the end.
Bobble at the end. I'm pretty...
I don't know if I've ever seen you bubble at the end.
So the good part of that is I really went 100% out there.
You did.
I didn't hold anything back.
You did.
And that was a little bit of the consequence. So I was super upset, and both Christian and my groom and best friend Mary said, you know, that's what happens when you give it your all. Sometimes, you know, these little bobbles will happen just because you're pushing as hard as you can.
But it's just round one, too.
It's round one, and honestly, I had a lot of personal bests in that round. So I'm going to shake it off and keep going.
So was that the only thing you saw in there that you went...
Oh, yeah.
It looked great.
Yeah, I had a little wave in my stand that was hopefully not super visible, but again, was pushing it really hard, trying to keep my feet close together to maximize the score, and it's harder to balance that way. So.
And you stood longer than others, too, which...
I like to show that off.
Yeah.
I have a big, wide, easy horse.
You did.
I'm like, yeah. So overall, really happy.
Tell us about the horse. I always get in trouble from the listeners if we don't ask about the horse.
Well, the horse is the star. You want to say anything?
She's a 15-year-old Percheron.
14.
She's
huge.
She originally came from the circus. Yeah, she's a big girl. And it's been a little bit of a change. She was trained to do a similar thing, but she's came a lot in the last year or so, and
in the circus, they go in the circle without a lunge line, so Christian's done a really good job of kind of transferring her original training over so that she can be comfortable in a circle with a line and a whip and no barrier on the outside. It's his first big competition lunging
as
well.
Who was more nervous?
I don't know. I felt ready. Like, yeah, there was some adrenaline, but not in a scary way.
Oh, that's good.
It's a good thing. You know, it is a big job to do.
So is that due to your experience? You know, lots of international competition?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you kind of just change the outlook on your feeling. Like, being nervous isn't a bad thing. It is a really big deal. And it's okay to have that adrenaline. You just breathe through it. Know that you can focus even if you're feeling a little uncomfortable. And got a great horse in Lunder that I can trust. So,
how long have you had Paris?
A year and a half. But Christian performed with her in the circus before that, years ago.
Okay.
So they have a really long relationship together, which is cool.
And you were free lunging her at that point in the circus?
Yes.
So this is a change for both of you, too.
Yes.
Wow, that's
completely different world. And she's been a really good girl about accepting the things that we want her to do and trying as best as she can to accommodate us.
You're not going to tell me anything about the freestyle, are you?
What do you want to know?
It's not music, a secret.
I'm vaulting to Paint It Black. It's a remake of an old Rolling Stones song. I picked it because it's a classic. The remake is really cool. It has a lot of good sounds. And also, I felt like it was a little symbolic of my journey, not to be super dark and depressing, but it's not all rainbows and butterflies, and that's part of what makes the sport beautiful, is there's a lot of hard times that you have to persevere through. So it's a little bit of my dark side, but in a cool way.
Yeah, but it's so dramatic. It's going
to
be perfect.
Yeah, that's. I wanted to like have something that was super purposeful.
And it goes with your horse, definitely.
Yeah.
That was another part. You know, everything is black on her, and I have a costume with some sequins that change to black when I touch them, so...
And he doesn't have to change costume at all, either.
Nope, he'll be in his black with the black hair, matching the horse.
Well, good luck.
Who designed the costume?
I had some ideas, but a lady named Jen Hofter in North Carolina, actually, kind of a local gal who designs figure skating costumes, did it for me.
Had you worked with her before?
No, a vaulter that I coach had worked with her. And I was struggling with the uniform design and not really sure what I wanted, and she's like, you have to talk to my lady, she's awesome. And I just gave her some ideas. I want it to be black, but not too black, so I don't disappear. You know, sometimes a darker outfit doesn't look cool on top of a dark horse. So it's got some gray tones to it. It's been, like, suits the music really well, but it's not solid black. And that was all her creativity. So.
You're going to be the silhouette act between the three of you.
Yeah. Well, I've got some gold sparkles on there,
good.
So hopefully I'll pop just a little bit.
You're going to kill the photographer.
No, it's very shiny, and there's about 2,600 rhinestones on it.
So oh, wow.
You'll see me, no doubt. Thank you so much.
Tomorrow we have the Nations Cup team freestyle medals. So we'll see the teams come back with their freestyles. And they were not telling me today what they were doing. It's all a big secret. And then we have individual and pas de deux freestyles tomorrow as well. Freestyles are huge. It's what draws the crowds. It's usually very energetic. The music is very loud. And they can do whatever movements they want. So in freestyle. So it's going to be a lot of fun
to watch.
This is
where the inner circus performer comes
out.
Yes,
it kind of, you know, it kind of has that feel to it, a real showman type day. It's the day where they really get to show off.
Yeah.
So
and it will not be canceled because of weather.
That's right. And we'll have the team freestyle medals tomorrow and then individual and pas de deux freestyles as well. So that's all coming up down in the indoor tomorrow. Also, starting at 9 a.m., we have a little jumping to do.
We do. We have the first class. It's a speed class for the team, so that'll be fun. I mean, the jumps look
Explain
so...
Explain the speed class for those that have never watched it. It's speed.
Fastest horse through. Wins. And the jumps look so big today after watching the Aventus jump yesterday. And the horses jump big. I mean, they have amazing form. They jump big. They tuck up their legs. They hang in the air. They have real air time. I mean, it's proper jumper land. I mean, it's the best jumpers in the world. And I did have a moment when they were playing great music while the horses were jumping today.
Yeah.
They had like David Bowie, Phil Collins.
That's something
like,
I found interesting. During the warm-ups... Each discipline sort of has a musical genre that they follow. The dressage, it's always classical music going. And
they had good music, and I was standing right on the edge. Like, one of the horses nearly, I mean, literally nearly touched me, and I was like, this is pretty good. Like, it doesn't get a lot better than this. The weather was good, as you said, Glenn. The horses were amazing. I was sort of jamming out to myself to David Bowie. I'm like, yeah. Living the dream.
So tomorrow we'll have the team competition and individual round one in jumping. There's a lot of rounds of jumping, too. Equestrians at every level aspire to create the ultimate harmony between horse and rider, and Bates Saddles are here to help you achieve that harmony. That's why Bates offer highly specialized saddles for every discipline, engineered to bring out the best in you and your horse. The Bates Dressage Range will raise your expectations forever. Beneath the traditional lines and elegant appearance, the Bates Dressage Saddles deliver modern innovations for horse comfort and performance. The new Bates Dressage Plus and Bates Mono Plus feature luxurious, grippy, double-lined leather and adjustable ergonomic stirrup bars for effortless rider alignment and increased support of your optimal dressage position. The time-tested Bates Isabel continues to give riders a unique deep seat, sitting you in a central and balanced position. In addition to the Care Cushion System, an easy change fit solution found throughout the Bates range of saddles. Revolutionize your riding experience and fulfill your true potential in Bates Dressage Saddles. For more information, visit BatesSaddles.com. That's Bates, B-A-T-E-S, Saddles.com. Well, I had a chance today. We got to go out and do, because it was a little bit quieter day, we got to go out and meet a lot of people. I had a chance to catch up with three-time Thoroughbred makeover winner, Lindsay Partridge, who's become very popular as a clinician and a demonstrator. She's heading up to Plantation Field next week, and we'll do demonstrations there with the Thoroughbreds. So let's take a listen to Lindsay. I think you'll like her. She's very engaging.
And now the people of WEG.
Well, I'm over by the Equus Theater again, the Equus Film Festival Theater.
That's where all the interesting people
hang out. That's right. It's all the fun people hang out. And last night, actually, on the way out to the parking lot, I met Lindsay Partridge, who's been a guest in our shows 100 times that I don't think we've ever met.
No.
So it's good to meet you.
Yeah, it was nice to see you in person. Such a fluke.
You recognized my voice, didn't you?
I recognized your voice. And then I turned around and was like, oh, my goodness. It's crazy. We're on the same shuttle back to the
parking lot. I know. So, Lindsay, it's so nice one to meet you. And I was so bummed that all of the other activities got canceled here because of the hurricane, mostly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys were, too.
Definitely bummed about it, for sure, because there's a lot of, I don't know that a lot of people know all the preparation that goes into bringing horses down for an event like this, because they have to get a lot of other things done. So, like, my horses didn't have FEI passports, or they didn't have
pyroplasma. They had to have a passport just to be a demo horse?
They had to get, like, a notarized
letter. Because you're in Canada, right?
Well, normally, when I cross the border, you just need a health certificate and a Coggins, but to come for WEG, you have to meet all of the FEI requirements.
Really?
You have to get those particular vaccines.
Oh, yeah, because you're here with FEI horses.
Yes, you have to get all the same stuff. So, my horses have to get microchipped and the full nine yards, and so, you know, you spend a lot of money on these things to come down. So it's definitely a bummer not to be able to bring them and even just
show off.
Yeah, show your message, right? It means a lot more when you get to show people what you can do with your horses. But it's still great to be down here. And at least they've been trying to do a lot of things on the Coca-Cola stage and in the theater to try to help give us presentation time. And so they're definitely doing the best that they can.
The Coca-Cola stage, and especially the Equus Theater, are nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Equus Theater especially, because it's air-conditioned.
Yes, it's a good place to hang out.
Yeah, I have been hiding in there occasionally. So, you've been shopping today.
I've been shopping today.
Did you spend money?
Of course. I got these new FEI breeches.
So I thought noticed. That'd be, they're very
that'd
cool.
Be a nice, they say FEI World Equestrian Games, try in 2018. So, I figured that'd be a nice practical memory token. I can wear them. They're really nice and breezy. They're actually kind of weird to wear because I feel like I'm not really wearing pants.
They're so really light. Super lightweight.
And I'm like, yeah. You kind of get this weird sensation as you're walking along. You're like, I am wearing pants.
I just came from vaulting. It just looks like the vaulters.
Yeah.
They look spray painted.
The vaulters doesn't look like they're wearing anything.
Yeah, they're spray painted.
You have to have a lot of self-confidence to be a vaulter.
Yeah, I guess so. More than what I have, I think. But I got one of those sun shirts, too.
You look great. You're rocking it.
I'm rocking it.
You are.
I don't know. I may as well shop.
So what's new in your world?
What's new in my world? I have a few exciting things coming up.
First, let's back up, because we have listeners from all over the world, and this is going to be on the WEG show. So tell them who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Lindsay Partridge, and I'm the three-time champion of the International Thoroughbred Makeover Competition, as well as Extreme Cowboy competitor and a founder of Harmony Horsemanship. And this year I'll actually be going in a couple weeks back to the Thoroughbred Makeover, and I'll be judging freestyle this year.
Oh, really? You're judging this year?
So excited to get to sit down.
They're not going
to
let you compete anymore.
She's out.
So I'm so excited, because normally, you know, having two horses down at the makeover, I'm like back to back, and I don't get to watch anything. So I'm so excited to sit down. I think they've got about 70 people signed up for freestyle right now. So I'm so excited to sit down.
Well, freestyle, I mean, you get the fun one.
I know.
You don't have to sit there and watch dressage test after dressage test.
I had the choice between trail and freestyle, and I was like, definitely freestyle.
Yeah.
Watching freestyle. So
Is freestyle harder to judge? Because it is freestyle.
Definitely, because you never know what you're going to get. But the way they mark it down is you get 50 points are allotted to harmony with your horse, which is actually pretty cool. And then there's 30 marks for difficulty and 20 marks for entertainment. And so I was talking to some of the judges in the past. I was talking to Tick Maynard, and he was giving me some pointers. And he said him and Dan James, what they did is they came up with like a baseline, so an average score. And then they would give pluses or minuses depending on like where they were. So I'm going to use that advice from them and apply that this year. So I'm really excited.
That's so exciting.
It's going to be really weird. I mean, it just seems like yesterday that the thoroughbred make, we started talking about thoroughbred makeover for the first year.
It's so cool that it's become a thing.
And here you are, a three-time champ. I mean, it seems like yesterday.
It's pretty cool. I definitely changed my world going to that. And definitely, one of the other exciting things coming up for me is I bought myself a little buckskin thoroughbred filly from Michigan.
Wait a minute. A buckskin thoroughbred filly.
I didn't know they came in buckskin. What mold did that come out of?
I have been following this colored thoroughbreds page for a long time, trying to find one, either a palomino or a buckskin. And so this little buckskin thoroughbred filly came up, and so it was kind of a splurge moment decision. But she's not ready to get picked up yet. She was only born in June, so I'll be getting her probably in December. But I'm really excited about her.
Wow. What are you gonna do with her?
I don't. I just figured I'm a thoroughbred lady, so I should have.
You should have one. Thoroughbred. You should have one.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I don't know. We'll just play it by ear. I gotta see. She's really big bodied, big boned. So, I just love thoroughbreds. They're so athletic. They're so versatile. After having my warm blood filly, that they're just so lazy in comparison. They got no work ethic. And you get on your thoroughbred and they're like, what would you like to do? You can do X, Y, Z. Yeah.
Do it now.
Okay, all the warm blood lovers out there can write to Lindsay.
I know. You want your lazy warm blood. It's totally different. So now I'm just totally in love with my thoroughbreds. So I thought, I'll get myself a nice young thoroughbred that I can start myself. So I'm excited about that.
You really came to prominence. You were right. After the thoroughbred makeover is when you went viral.
You went viral, basically. They said it was the train they didn't see coming.
Yeah. And were you surprised? Are you surprised at what's happened over the last 3 years?
It's kind of incredible when you look back to see everything that's happened, because that winning the makeover in 2015 kind of spiraled, and now when I think about it, it's like, okay, my horses have been in 3 feature films, and I've been on the TSN Sports commercial for the Grey Cup for football in Canada, and
oh my gosh,
like, you know, so many things have happened,
so much, so far beyond the horse
world. That's when nobody knew what the thoroughbred makeover was either.
Yeah,
right? It was the beginning. It was
the first year being done in Kentucky, and it was, and I love the makeover because you get to compete, you know, beside Olympians and Grand Prix riders and all these people that, you know, normally you wouldn't necessarily compete against them, and it puts you on a level playing field and you get to kind of show your stuff. So that's, I think, the coolest thing. Last year when I was there, I was on a panel for at the Thoroughbred Makeover, a judges panel, and just, you know, sitting alongside other great riders from lots of different disciplines was just so unique, to pull in, you know, the eventers and the jumpers, and then me who does freestyle and trail, and just to sit all together and be answering these questions. It was just, that was surreal.
I'm really excited about how the makeover has expanded the appeal of the thoroughbred breed beyond those 3 disciplines.
Beyond eventing.
And it's popular. I thought whenever you looked at the entries, nobody's gonna bother entering that. It's hugely popular, especially in the trail.
Yeah.
Crazy popular.
The prize money's good, so they've made it, you know,
motivating
for you to want to sign up.
Prize money in horse world. Wow. Unique concept.
And they made it, like, it's definitely made an impact, because when I look for thoroughbreds now, off-the-track thoroughbreds, they're significantly more expensive than what they were before to get a good one, to get a good solid sound.
We used to be able to buy them for $1,000. An expensive one for $1,000.
Yeah, that was a pricey one. Yeah.
My first year, I think I paid $1,000 each for my horses. And then my second year, I had one for free, which my student competed on.
There were a lot of those, too.
Yeah. And then I think I had one for like $1,500 maybe, and $1,000. And then it just seems like it gets harder and harder each year to find, you know, a good quality one that's better. Oh, it's totally great. It's great to see that they're being valued.
People are buying them.
Yeah, they're being valued. And also, I think for owners or trainers, there's more value in making sure that your horse comes off the track in a condition that's ready to go on, because being able to say that your horse is IRP eligible actually means a whole lot.
That's a sales point now, exactly. You see that in the ads, it's like RRP eligible.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus needs a year and a half off.
Exactly. Yeah, they're catching on to it. So it's great, and they've done a lot of things really well. You know, they keep every year they make it a little bit better. So I'm excited for that. And then after the makeover is Worlds for Extreme Cowboy Racing, so I'm super excited.
Oh really?
Right now I'm sitting second overall in Ontario for that.
Wow. Well, tell us about your cowboy racing horse.
Yeah, so I have three of them that I'm racing this year. So I have my Steady Eddie Dreamer. So it's my second year competing with him. He's my quarter horse gelding that's been in all the movies. So he's a pretty awesome dude. So we're sitting second with him. And then I've been doing extreme cowboy racing with my 2016 thoroughbred champion from the makeover, Trivia Time. But I've been doing it bridleless. So I'm
Wait right a minute, now. You're doing a bridleless thoroughbred and cowboy racing?
Yeah.
If you haven't watched extreme cowboy racing, check it out.
Do you
doing
end up
that bridleless?
Running?
I didn't know that was even allowed.
Yeah,
oh yeah, no, it's totally allowed. It's funny enough, you can ride bridleless extreme cowboy racing, but if you use an English bit, you can get disqualified because Dreamer was disqualified at one race for having an English bit.
Really?
But, that's but you
silly.
Can totally go bridleless. Yeah, so that's my goal.
Do they
is
still
to
do?
Go
is it the racing where you end up jumping in a trailer at the
oh,
end?
Oh yeah, you do like.
And you do that bridleless?
You do it. It's different every time. That's what I love about extreme cowboy racing is every race is different. So I've had to this year. I've had to do like putting laundry up while on my horse. I've had to go over double bridges. I've had to go through water boxes. I've had to do
because everybody hangs their laundry while on horseback.
Right? They've done
more accurately. They should be tearing down the laundry from your horse. That's what happens more often.
You have to do all sorts of crazy things. You do have to do some technical things. Like we have to do if you know what a daisy chain is, which is where you kind of do these figure eight patterns. You have to do rollbacks. So there's still some technical stuff that you got to do with
compulsories.
Your horses.
I just came from Baltic.
Yeah, not necessarily compulsory, but it's different every single time, which I love. So yeah, I'm doing a bridleless with her, and I think we're sitting either 7th or 8th in Ontario right now doing it with no bridle. And then my other horse that I'm competing with is my little 4-year-old chestnut mare that I was given in December for she literally would chase people out of the paddock, like just a real dominant
ears back out of here,
just like literally. It was really funny, actually. This one time my husband went out in the field to just pick up a barrel that had donked over, and Peanut was standing there, and he's not really fully aware of all the horses in the field.
Yeah,
so
that's
he
a
kind
horse
of
husband
he
thing
just goes,
I know.
he just goes to push her out of the way, right? And then you just see Peanut be like, oh, you did not do that. And starts backing up towards him like she's going to kick him. And so what my husband does is he takes off his shoes and starts throwing them. But he's only got two shoes. So then
yeah,
he
you
starts
run out
picking
eventually.
Up poo and starts throwing poo at her to try to get him. And while he's running out of the paddock. So we
You
laugh.
Didn't have your camera, did
no,
you?
No, I know,
that would
right?
be great. Talk about going viral.
I know, right? Once in a lifetime experience, That's I think, a, for that
I
one.
Need to get him on the Horse Husbands episode.
Absolutely.
These days, too.
I want to hear,
he
I
has
hear
stories,
them.
I bet.
Oh,
Peanut
my
story.
Goodness. Oh, my gosh. And, you know. But so this pony, so I restarted her, or she wasn't actually started under saddle. So I started her under saddle in December and started doing cowboy racing with her. So it's her, most of the time, like when you're in pro, which is what I have to do, is pro, is people have been riding these horses for years, years and years and years, because the skills that you have to do in extreme cowboy at pro include rollbacks, include lead changes, include back throughs and sideways and all sorts of stuff. So they've usually been training for a long time. And this horse I've only been started in December. And so right now I think she's sitting, she's either 8th or 9th, depending on what trivia time is. So she, and you have to be in the top 8 to qualify for regionals and then get on to worlds. So who knows? There's a hope. She might qualify.
You could have more than one.
I might have three qualified.
That's so exciting.
For Texas. So yes. We'll see. That will be a fun journey. And then my student.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about Franny, who's right now sitting first in youth for Extreme Cowboy. And that's pretty awesome for her. She's been doing riding Dreamer now for 2-3 years. So she's really excited to qualify for Worlds and head down to Texas in a couple months. At this point, I don't think there's any way that she could not qualify. I think she's solidified her lead pretty solidly there, so she's pretty stoked about that.
Well, before we run out of time, you're going to be, we have a lot of eventers in the audience from the Northeast, and you're going to be doing a demonstration. Where's that at?
Yeah, so I'm going to be heading down to the 3-star event at Plantation International Field in Pennsylvania. So
it's
I'll
October?
Be there. It's this coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
So
that's
I leave WEG on Friday, and then I get down there, and so I believe it's at lunchtime. We'll be doing a demo, and because...
What's your demo?
My demo, I don't know, I'm going to kind of make it up as I go along. I don't know, something bridleless. They told me I'm allowed to ride in the ring,
and I can lower the jumps if they're too high, but I can't move them around. So I don't know. I've got a big tarp with me. I've got a ton of giveaways because my really awesome sponsors, Omega Alpha and Thinline and Hispania Silk, they gave me all this stuff to give away at WEG. But since my demos got canceled at WEG, Plantation is going to get pretty darn spoiled.
That's good. So if people want to find you, they can find you at Plantation this weekend. And also, what's your website?
HarmonyHorsemanship.ca, because I am Canadian, but you can follow me on Facebook or YouTube, is at Lindsay PHH, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y PHH, or at Harmony Horsemanship TM, TM for trademark.
And you live in?
I live in Pontypool, Ontario.
And you do training? Do people want help or whatever? You do that as well?
Yeah, I do a lot of clinics and a lot of online courses and things like that.
If somebody wants to book you for a clinic, they can do that through the website.
They can totally do that, yeah.
Yep. Okay, great.
It's awesome. So fun Thank to you. Meet you. Yeah, it's nice to see you guys in person.
Are you towing your horse and need a place to stay? No worries if you're traveling on the East Coast. Stop at Bed and Barn Farms, an awesome horse hotel in North Carolina, conveniently located halfway between the Northeast and Florida. They have plenty of room for large trailers, large stalls, paddocks. Large trailers, there were like six of them there the other day from the Canadian team. Arenas, trails, and best of all, lodging. And that's where we're staying. It sleeps eight. And I actually got to experience the upstairs apartment because I was not sleeping with Jennifer last night. She was so sick. So, yes.
Thank you for letting the whole world know.
And the upstairs apartment is very nice too. So you have multiple places to stay there. They also have a full tax store and it's kind of antique tax store. It's really cool. At Tam's Tax Store, it's called. So pull out your cell phones and book your room today. Go to Bed and Barn Farms NC. bedandbarnfarmsnc.com. That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. I don't know what the excitement was. I want to know what the excitement was over there now. We need to find out.
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow with another show for you and a full day of coverage. Thank you to everybody on Horses in the Morning who put up with us this morning. We appreciate that, too. Horses in the Morning will be back with you next week on Monday. But we will be providing the WEG show for Horses in the Morning the balance of this week. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is all the WEG show. So we hope you enjoy it. We get a little bit of Samantha that way, and we're putting some interviews at the end that are non-WEG-y, sort of fun. So we've come into a new term here this week. And thank you. Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Jennifer.
See you
all tomorrow.
Bye.